Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
7:07. Thanks for tuning in this Tuesday morning in the nation's capital, Thanksgiving week, on O'Connor and Company. Coming up in just 10 minutes, we have further evidence that supports the notion that Rashida Tlaib might not be the wisest person in the House of Representatives.
I can't believe it.
I'm not boldly stating it. I'm just saying that there is new evidence to support that notion. We report, you decide. Also coming up at 8:05, the legendary Bo Snerdly, James Golden from the legendary Rush Limbaugh Show. A lot of legends going on there with Bo Snerdly. And at 8:35, the former chief of staff for President Trump, Congressman Mark Meadows out of North Carolina, will be joining us. That's all coming up. Right now, though, we turn to Terry Schilling. He is the president of American Principles Project, one of those organizations here in town looking to sort of right this very scary ship that we're on. Terry Schilling, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry and Amber. Excited to be here.
I know it's, you know, we get so obsessed here in Washington, D.C. about the next election. We just had an election in Virginia, and it seemed to go pretty well for the Republicans. I think that's an understatement, turning the vote around from President Trump in 2020 by the tune of 12 points. That's pretty impressive. And winning across the board, governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. Is it fair to take that as some kind of precursor for these midterms that are now coming up in 2022?
Absolutely, Larry. Look, this election in Virginia is an ominous sign for Democrats and the woke progressives all across the country. I'd be really afraid right now. The thing is, for me, as the head of an NRA-style organization for families, it's very uplifting, because it's telling the world and it's telling Republicans and politicians that it was never the economy, stupid. It was always the culture. People care about their kids, and that's what Virginia was all about. They care about what their kids are learning in school. Are you teaching my kids that America is good? Are you teaching my kids that America is evil? Are you encouraging them to change their gender? Are you teaching them to judge their peers by their skin color? That's what this election was about, and parents were the determining factor in Glenn Youngkin's victory last month.
Yeah, I think you're right, Terry. That culture was a huge, issue for Virginia voters. But the economy is important insofar as it affects families. I don't think people are looking, at GDP predictions and voting for president that way. But people are very affected right now by inflation. Surveys are showing that even just for Thanksgiving dinner, American families are going to be paying significantly more to be able to put that turkey on their table. Can you talk a little bit more about, how that affects how people vote, and also what families are doing to make sure that they're able to feed their families and keep that food on the table?
Of course. And Amber, inflation is something that really impacts the American family more than anyone else, more than the never married, more than the singles. Because when, Thanksgiving increases by 14%, like it is this year, that's not just 14% for one person, that's 14% in my case for seven people. It's a total nightmare. But it's not just the inflation of food, it's the inflation of shelter, it's the inflation of clothing, it's the inflation of gas prices. We drove my family up to Boston with my in-laws. It's a lot of money. I paid $4 a gallon going up there. This is the Joe Biden economy. This is what they do. And it was, I don't know if you guys saw the video of the House of Representatives cheering and clapping and laughing when they passed this so-called infrastructure bill. It's really terrible. They have no care in the world for working families.
And listen, both things can be true, that the rampant government spending and the devaluing of our currency by continuing to borrow of future generations, and the fact that that affects inflation and the cost of everything, that's a major problem, and Congress needs to focus on that. It's true. But when you look at what they're currently proposing, the Build Back Better blah, blah, blah bill that they're trying to plan on, it seems like most of the Republicans, Terry, are just focusing on the cost. Oh, it's $3 trillion, it's $3 trillion, it's $3 trillion, and that is a problem. But isn't it more important to focus on what they're doing with that money? You know, they want to institute government-run preschool. You know, I mean, if you don't like critical race theory in your kindergarten class, why do you want them to take it over for your three-year-old? I mean, it really is less about the cost as it is about the growth and power that the government is going to inflict in our lives. Isn't that the more persuasive argument?
That's exactly right, Larry. Listen, this is the key difference between Democrats and Americans, I would say, is Democrats want to get your kids out of the home. Look at Joe Biden's American Families Plan. It was $1.9 trillion. There are 72 million kids in this country. It equals out to be about $25,000 per kid. Yeah. Now, if you were to say to the average American, hey, would you rather have the $25,000 or would you rather have 2 years of extra preschool? I think most Americans, moms and dads, would say, hey, let's cut that extra job and we'll just take the extra $25,000. Look, they want to keep, right, they want your kids.
And then mom or dad can stay home and teach your child what they would have learned in preschool.
Exactly. Exactly, Larry. They want your kids out of the home, though. Democrats are, when Terry McAuliffe said that line in the debate, I don't think parents should be telling schools to teach. He said the quiet part out loud. Democrats think that parents are the enemy. They don't think that parents should be instilling the values in their children or teaching their children. They think that parents don't know how to do it, which, by the way, newsflash, parents have been raising their children pretty well for, like, I don't know, millennia.
How about the beginning of time? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a joke.
Except for that whole Cain and Abel thing. I mean, honestly, Cain, I don't know where they went wrong there, but they had other things to deal with.
Terry, one of the other flashpoints in the Virginia election was about transgender policies in schools, and that's why I'm so disturbed to see that there are quite a few House Republicans now pushing their own version of the Equality Act called the Fairness for All Act, which would, essentially tell children that they can be the opposite gender. Can you give us an update on where that stands and why these Republicans are pushing something like that?
Yeah, Amber, that's a really good question. So there are 21 Republicans that are sponsoring what's known as the Fairness for All Act. And what that bill would do is it would put sexual orientation and gender identity into civil rights law. And what these people say is, well, this is a great compromise to put religious liberty on equal footing with the LGBT movement. That is the biggest lie I've ever heard in politics, and I've heard a lot. I've been involved for 16 years. First of all, the LGBT movement has enough power. They have way too much power, in fact. They have all the culture with them. They have every media outlet ever, except you guys, obviously. But they've got academia, they've got Hollywood, they've got everything. You get fired for saying that men cannot become women. You get fired for saying, I don't believe in gay marriage. But you don't get fired for getting gay married. You don't get fired for being transgender. And what this bill would do, this is how sick it is. If you are a male kindergarten teacher 1 year, and then over the summer you come back as Mrs. Smith instead of Mr. Smith, you can't be fired as a kindergarten teacher. That's how dangerous this law is. And so I ask these Republicans, what power does the LGBT movement, and why do you want to give them more after they've done nothing but abuse the cultural power that they've already been given? Why is this necessary?
AmericanPrinciplesProject.org is where you get all the information. American Principles Project been around right after Barack Obama was elected, because they saw the direction that he was going to take this country, and did. And we got to right that ship, as I said. And it big help comes from American Principles Project, especially headed toward the 22 midterms. Thank you so much, Terry, for joining us.
Thanks, Larry and Amber.
That's Terry Schilling. Again, it's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org, 7:15. We spoke yesterday about this interview Jonathan Swan set up at Axios for Rashida Tlaib, member of the Jihad Squad, as I'm going to use it all the time now, Congressman Boebert. Specifically, yesterday they discussed the fact that Rashida Tlaib doesn't seem to sort of have a great grasp of the facts involved with her job. And they talked about her desire to get rid of the filibuster. And remember, Jonathan Swan said, so now you said that this is really rooted in racism. And she goes on and on about mm-hmm. how the filibuster is racist. And then she, you know, Jonathan Swan, great job just following up and saying, okay, so then why did all the Democrats and Kamala Harris support this? And I believe her answer was,
I don't know.
Right. That's a good answer when you literally don't know. Well, to be fair, Jonathan Swan did not need any sort of expertise in this next exchange. Here's another leak here talking about a thing called the BREATHE Act, which you may not have heard yet, but it basically releases everyone from jail at the federal level. Seriously, listen.
In 2020, you endorsed the BREATHE Act, which is a series of proposals to transform America's criminal justice system and create, quote, a roadmap for prison abolition. The BREATHE Act proposes emptying federal detention facilities within 10 years. To what extent have you wrestled with any potential downsides of releasing into society every single person who's currently in a federal prison?
Yeah, I think that everyone's like, oh my God, we're going to just release everybody. That's not
that's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah, but did you see how many people are mentally ill that are in prison right now?
I'm sorry. As if the one has that. I'd love this. Like, everybody's like, oh gosh, we're going to release everybody. And Swan's like, that's exactly what you're going to do.
That's what the bill says, woman.
And I love that the rejoinder is, yeah, but do you know how many of them have mental illness? It's like, okay.
There's also a lot that don't.
Right, but.
And also having a mental illness doesn't preclude you from being a violent criminal.
Right. So let me just be clear. So it's not just the criminals you're releasing, also the mentally ill, because that will make our streets safer.
Can't wait to see the tent cities in D.C. after that happens.
No offense to people who are suffering with mental illness, but if you committed a crime, you do need to pay a penalty. And the best thing is not necessarily to just let you out onto the streets, which is what this will do. But it got worse.
No, I know. But the act that you says release everyone
in 10 years. But think about it. Who are releasing?
But they were like human traffickers.
Oh, I know.
Child sex. So do you mean that you don't have...
I mean, seriously, what is that reaction?
I know.
Human traffickers. I know. I met a couple of them.
I know, silly.
They're misunderstood, the human traffickers.
Do you support that?
No.
Because you endorse the bill.
No, I endorse the BREATHE Act and looking at federal the policies and how we incarcerate. Absolutely.
But it says in there.
But you cannot just blankly say, oh, look, she wants. That's not what I'm saying.
But that's like in plain text. Isn't
but it? What I'm saying is look at. Who's in prison now?
Yes, like the Unabomber.
Murderers, rapists. I'm looking, Rashida, and I don't like what I'm seeing.
No, look at the folks that are mentally ill, that have substance abuse problems.
But I'm not disagreeing with you that there are people who shouldn't be in prison.
Yeah, but then why aren't you asking me about them? You're asking me about the human traffickers and others that should
be able to be held
accountable.
What I'm trying to understand is your proposal is so sweeping.
Yeah, why are you asking about these really, really bad guys? Because you're going to put them on the streets. I think that's worthy of a question.
Oh my gosh. It hurts my brain to listen to this.
It hurts my brain until I realize that this is actually a person who wields a hell of a lot of power and influence with our current Speaker of the House. I mean, Nancy Pelosi has to bend the knee to this woman's will. A little bit more.
It does release everyone. And what I'm trying to say to you
within
is...
Within 10 years, and obviously there's a process of looking at how can we get away from mass incarceration and move towards care first.
It's not mass incarceration. If you break the law, you go to jail. That's not... They make it sound like people are just going through the streets and saying, okay, all you people watching this basketball game, come on, you're all going to jail.
Gosh.
Yeah, this is why...
Insanity. For
those of you who are wondering if we're getting ahead of the game by talking about the 2022 midterms and, you know, and whether, oh, gosh, geez, we just finished an election. No. This is why WMAL is going to be the place to be for this election next year. This is Politics Central and Election Central because this is the moment where we can take people like that. She is in the majority right now. She wields power, this woman, along with AOC and Ilhan Omar. That's why this election coming up is so important.
Don't worry. There's a process to release the violent criminals.
Yeah. Oh, don't have you
it's
looked
oh,
at
it's
who's
over
in
10
jail?
Years,
oh,
Jonathan.
Come on. And they have mental illness. It's 7:21. It's 7:27 here this Thanksgiving week on O'Connor and Company. I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Amber Athey. And Amber, we will be here all week. We'll be broadcasting Thanksgiving morning.
Damn right, we will be.
I actually look forward to broadcasting on Thanksgiving morning. I've done it for many years, and I enjoy it because I know that there are so many people out there who need a little company while they're the only ones awake getting the meal ready, and I get it. And that's great, and it's a great, wonderful American day. So I say that in that I don't mind working. I have a history of working. I remember when I was a teenager, I worked at Disneyland, and Thanksgiving was a very big day at Disneyland. So I've worked on Thanksgiving, but there are a lot of businesses who, especially in retail, who sort of raised the ire of the public by moving the whole Black Friday thing sooner and sooner and sooner. It's like one thing, Black Friday started at midnight, right? Mm-hmm. And you had the whole massive thing. And then it became like Thursday afternoon. the whole idea was after Thanksgiving turkey, get in the car, go to the retail shop and start buying Christmas presents already. Target has now announced that they will no longer do that. During the pandemic, they stayed closed during Thanksgiving, and the CEO yesterday, Brian Cornell, has said this is going to stick. From now on, Target will always be closed on Thanksgiving Day going forward. Do you think that's a good move?
I actually respect it, and I think that one of the bad trends about Black Friday is how much retail stores have stretched it out. They've kind of taken away the excitement of rushing to get those deals on early Friday morning. Now you can pretty much buy any of the sales online for the entire week of Thanksgiving. So what's the point?
Online, but I thought Monday was like Cyber Monday, right?
See, they don't even do that anymore. They've expanded Black Friday to the point where it doesn't even have any meaning anymore.
Well, I think we should talk about this. If you have to work this week on Thursday, share with us what you do, why you are necessary to keep the country going, to keep our town going. 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. And if you're in retail in particular, what are you guys doing for Black Friday? Are you going to be open on Thanksgiving? Are you going to be open on Friday? Or is Black Friday, especially if you work in retail, is Black Friday not a thing anymore? 888-630-WMAL. It's 7:37 on WMAL, where Washington comes to talk this Thanksgiving week. And thank you for starting your day with us here. Coming up later in the program at 8:05, the legendary Bo Snerdly from the late, great Rush Limbaugh Show will be joining us, James Golden. He's got a brand new book out, Rush on the Radio. And then at 8:35, speaking of brand new books, Congressman Mark Meadows, former chief of staff to President Trump, he has a book called The Chief's Chief. If you're looking to fill up those Christmas stockings, we got lots of book ideas for you. I'm O'Connor of Larry fame. Wait, I'm Larry of O'Connor and Company fame. Good morning, Amber Athey.
Good morning. I guess I'm the company then.
I'm alongside Amber Athey.
Amber of company fame.
We've been having an ongoing debate here about cranberry sauce versus that gelatinous mass that you like out of your Ocean Spray can every Thanksgiving. Here's how I can prove that we'll get to it in a minute. First, 888-630-9625. Are you working this Thanksgiving? Why don't you explain to people why you're needed? Because they take it for granted, I think. And do you like this trend, though, of retail stores like Target has just announced? They're shutting the doors. They're going in the other direction. No more of this Black Friday creep. In fact, we're not going to have any employees working on Thanksgiving Day. Is that the way we should be? 888-630-WMAL. One more argument on the cranberry sauce. Do you eat that stuff anytime the rest of the year?
No, because the whole point is that it complements the turkey and the right. Very carb-heavy plate.
So you never have a turkey sandwich the rest of the year?
Well, you know, they have turkey sandwiches they sell at certain fast food chains that have cranberry.
Not like that, though. They have real cranberries, don't they?
I don't know.
Have you so when you make yourself a turkey sandwich at home, do you say, I got to have that
but
gelatinous cranberry
stuff? I don't
like
this argument because this is part of the specialness. The specialty of the Thanksgiving dinner that you can only have it once or twice a year, and that's what makes the cranberry sauce so good. It's a special treat.
We will continue this debate clearly through the rest of the week at 888-630-WMAL. But right now, we're talking about working on Thanksgiving and the whole idea of Black Friday creep. The fact that Black Friday no longer is Friday. They pushed it to the midnight. They pushed it to Thursday evening. And now the pendulum's swinging the other way. Jared on Broadway. Jared, you're in Broadway. You're like where the neon lights are bright on Broadway?
Actually, no. Broadway, Virginia.
Oh, all right. That's good, too. Hey, thanks for calling in, Jared. What's the story?
I actually drive a truck, so I have to work Thursday delivering herbs. So that's what I'll be doing.
you need your herbs, right? It's funny. People will like go out for last minute shopping on Thanksgiving and have to grab things. Like, how did it get there? And by the way, who's going to be ringing you up when you go buy your last minute stuff? Jared, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. And what are the hours? How early are you going to be at least be able to get home after you make your deliveries?
I hope so. Usually my routes start between anywhere from 11 at night to about 4 in the morning.
Oh, all right. Well, as you're winding down, Amber and I will be starting up. All right. So check in with us when you're ending your shift.
Be listening to you all.
Thanks, Jared. I appreciate it. Thanks for being out there. God, the truck drivers are so important to us. I love it. We had this debate years ago when the whole Black Friday thing started moving into Thursday. And people would call in and say, this is terrible. No one should have to work on Thanksgiving. You should just be able to have your turkey dinner and then sit down and watch the football game. And I'm thinking, dude, how do you think that football game's happening? A lot of people are working at the stadium.
Yeah.
A lot of people are working on the cameras. A lot of people are selling hot dogs at the stadium. It's like you can't have it both ways.
It's pretty naive to think that we would be able to just shut down the entire economy on Thanksgiving Day. I think that for most retail stores, the ideal thing would be to be open in the morning and early afternoon so that people who are doing that sort of last minute shopping can get things that they need.
Yeah.
And then allow them to go home for dinner with their families.
Right. Yeah, I like that idea because you do. I mean, if you haven't prepped properly, you don't have enough butter because you do need, I believe, for a typical Thanksgiving dinner, I think it's 8 pounds of butter.
That sounds about
pretty,
right.
And if you got to run out and get some, you do need that grocery store there for in a pinch for an emergency. The bigger question, I think, is the whole idea of forcing everyone to come to a retail establishment or to a mall store or something for the Christmas shopping. That's not a bare necessity
that you
need.
That makes me angry.
Yeah.
And again, the whole point of Black Friday is that you have this anticipation. You spend your post-turkey, tryptophan nap getting your shopping list ready for Black Friday,
yeah,
and then planning the time you're going to go to the different stores to try to avoid the crowds. And they completely ruin that by expanding Black Friday to even as early as Tuesday and Wednesday now some stores are doing it.
It sounds like the Athey's sort of war-gamed out their whole Black Friday strategy.
We took this very seriously,
yeah.
And we were damn good at it, too.
Ben in Ashburn. Ben, what do you think about stores starting to swing back the other way and letting everybody stay home for Thanksgiving?
I think it's great. I've hated this idea, of starting all this insane retail shopping for Christmas on Thanksgiving night. The whole reason for it was originally because the day after Thanksgiving, usually people head off, and so they could start their shopping. But it amazes me that a store like Target is actually trying to go with a more traditional view of this.
Right, considering how antithetical to American values they've been of late.
That's a good point. You would expect this from a mom-and-pop store before you would from a major retailer.
Yep. Now, good
point. Not just a major retailer, Amber. Not just a major retailer. Target. Remember, they're the ones that were really starting this whole letting men in their bathroom, in their women's bathrooms and all that stuff.
Good point.
They also kicked Santa Claus from the front of the stores for the Salvation Army. Okay, Target was the one who said, no more bell ringing, no more raising money for kids in the Salvation Army in front of the store.
Well, I'm anti-Target now.
Well, I do like my Target, but I know what I'm getting.
Well,
when
I don't shop at Nike either, so maybe I'll add Target to my list.
888-630-WMAL. It's a new trend now. Is it a good one or a bad one? Where people get the day off for Thanksgiving. Is it going to cramp your style? Did you look forward to getting out that tryptophan nap and then going out shopping Thursday night because you don't like football because because that's your thing? And if you are working, please explain to us why. What is it you're doing? Because clearly it's something important and we want to honor it. 888-630-WMAL. It's 743. It's WMAL where Washington comes to talk. Larry O'Connor alongside Amber Athey. And, the lines are jammed now because everyone has an opinion on this. That's why we figured it would be a good conversation to have about Target now, first major retailer who's going the other direction, saying, no, everyone will have the day off on Thanksgiving. No more of this Black Friday creep, right? If you're working this Thanksgiving, as Amber and I will be, we'll get you started early Thursday morning. We want to hear from you. What is it you do? Because clearly it's something important, I hope. And if you're in retail, I'd love for your opinion on the Target thing. Mike and Burke, coming in here. Mike, you're next up here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? Luckily, I don't have to work this particular Thanksgiving or Christmas. But I think as far as stores being closed, that's great. Let family time be with the family. But yeah. I was reminded of a story when I was still on active duty way back in the early days. It was Miss Lear up in North Dakota. And George Bush would always come up on the worldwide alert system there and talk to the troops. And he would say, the flyers keep the planes in the sky until the missileers keep the pointy end up. Very heartfelt, warming talk to folks. It was a president that really did care about his troops.
Yeah, he certainly saw himself as the wartime president that he was, and he definitely focused on the men and women in uniform. I remember, obviously the incredibly legendary overnight trip he took to Iraq to serve Thanksgiving meal to the troops, you remember.
Yes, I do remember that.
Mike, that was great. Hey, thank you for your service, and I'm glad you get this Thanksgiving off. Yeah, we can't forget our troops, obviously. In fact, and whenever we say our Thanksgiving prayer, they're the first words out of our mouth is to thank our troops for keeping us safe so we can have Thanksgiving.
It's really nice.
I appreciate that. You can do it this year too, Amber, if you'd like.
I think I will.
All right. About Melody in Maryland. Hey, Melody, what do you say? What's your plan for Thanksgiving in terms of working?
Hello, yes. My company, I work for a warehouse. The warehouse itself is mandatory to be open, and the stores have to be closed.
Oh, yeah, that's often the case. Yeah, the actual retail people who work in the store will be closed, but everyone who does the, you know, has to stock mm-hmm. and do all the warehouse work has to work. What is it? Do you have to work in the morning and then you get home for your family, or how does it work?
They're requiring everyone to work from, well, different shifts. One shift is going to work from the 4 a.m. to 12 p.m. We're required to work the original 8-hour shifts.
I see.
We used to have all major holidays off, and now they only get two, which is Christmas and New Year's off, and the rest of the holidays are mandated to work now.
Yeah. Well, it's Melody, I'm sorry you got to work, but the good news is there are a lot of people who can't find work right now. So, I mean, in a way, it's something to be thankful for that you at least have an opportunity to work and put food on the table, right?
Right. Well, we work through the shift that worked through the pandemic the entire time. So
yeah.
The company did not close down.
Oh, see, Melody, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving. While you're working, hopefully you can listen to us here on the program. I'm trying to find a silver lining on this, right?
Yeah. It could be worse.
I mean, I generally lean toward let the free market decide. I mean, I'm cynical about Target. I think that the reason they're doing this is because they found that there wasn't nearly the demand that they thought there might be. And it ended up, if it makes economic sense for Target to be open on Thanksgiving, they're going to be open on Thanksgiving because the free market always wins.
Yeah, that's true. I feel for the retail workers because they don't get a say in it. They don't have the power to,
right.
to you know, fight back against retailers who don't allow them to have that time off.
Fight the power.
That's right.
Jan and Sterling. Jan, what's the plan? There, are you working this Thanksgiving? Hey, Jan.
Hello.
Hey, you're up.
Yeah. Hi. Okay. My thoughts on Thanksgiving. My thoughts are Target. I've been in retail for many years. Okay. So my thing about Target is that they don't really care about employees. They're caring more about the money they're saving by not paying their employees time and a half.
See, there you go.
The holiday pay.
The Delta at work.
So what happens is that the reason a lot of stores, businesses, was reluctant to open before midnight. If you work before midnight, you get time and a half. So those people that were working at 5 o'clock Thanksgiving Day got paid time and a half from 5 o'clock.
Yeah, so this is cost saving.
Right, and then all the other people that actually had to deal with the Black Friday customers at 12:05, they got paid normal hours.
Because technically it wasn't a holiday anymore, even though it was 1 in the morning.
Yes.
That you had to deal with the nightmare, the riots and the pushing against the doors and the trampling. Jan, that's a great insight. Thank you for that. In fact, a lot of you all are cynical. Look at this. Ed on 95 says this is just because of the employee crunch, right? They can't hire enough. That could be true. Nick in Germantown points out. In fact, Nick, come on in here. You know, it might not be open, but that doesn't mean that people aren't working for Target, right? There's still a lot of people who will be working that day.
Well, that's what my big question is. You know, like the caller before was saying, Target really doesn't care a lot about their employees.
Mm-hmm.
What about their other employees, their truck drivers, their warehouse workers? Are they going to be off on Thanksgiving as well?
Yeah.
Or are they going to be working for the holiday?
My guess is there will be a handful of people working to get those stores ready for the next day for Black Friday. So it's not like everybody gets it off. It's a great point, Nick. Thank you for that. Real fast, I want to get to Greg and Prince William. Greg, come on in here. You're going to be working this Thanksgiving?
Good morning. I personally will actually be getting off that morning, but a lot of us will be working. You know, I think it's just the profession that you chose.
Yeah.
You know that you're in that line of work, you've got a chance of working. You know that if you're in retail, you've got a chance of working. If you're working at a convenience store, people want their coffee on Thanksgiving Day.
Or they need gas to get to grandma's house. And you told Jeff you're a firefighter.
Correct.
Well, we definitely need firefighters, especially I've seen all the videos of people deep frying their turkeys and it becomes like an atom bomb in their backyard. I'm curious, Greg, how many calls do you guys get because of turkey-related fire injuries?
A few, not as many as the videos portray. Mm-hmm. But there's a few.
All right. Well, I still like those videos. They're fascinating. I can't not watch them. It's amazing when people stick their frozen bird in a bucket of hot gurgling fat grease. What am I saying?
Oil?
Thank you. There, that's the word I'm looking for, oil.
I could do the English.
It's 7:53. Amber, our ongoing debate now over real cranberry sauce with real cranberries versus that gelatinous mess out of a can that you like has reached a fevered pitch here. Everybody chiming in. And now we've got Gary in Fredericksburg. He says he's got the solution. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, how's it going? Yes, we do an old Pennsylvania Dutch recipe, which is cranberries out of the bag, make sure the stems are out, wash them, throw some oranges in there, some sugar, put it in a fruit processor, whip it up, it becomes a relish and a garnish.
Fantastic.
And it doesn't look like burgundy-colored dog food coming out of a can.
You're on my side then. There you go. Doesn't that sound great?
Where are the ridges? The ridges?
It's 8 o'clock. Bo Snerdly next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.